Welcome to the Negotiations Ninja podcast, where we develop and deliver the most engaging negotiation content and training in the world. We host negotiation experts, business people, and entrepreneurs, and discuss what works, what doesn't work, and how we can improve our negotiation skills. Hey, listeners, welcome to this throwback edition of a conversation that I had with Mr. James Orsini. And whether James knows it or not, he's been sort of an unofficial mentor of mine. And I've learned a lot from James on the type of leader that I want to become, because I think he's a great example of good leadership. And today we talk all about small and medium-sized business negotiations and what it takes to be successful in the game of negotiation from James's perspective, which I respect a great deal. I think you're going to get a lot out of this discussion. Enjoy this great conversation with Mr. James Orsini. James, we made it. Thanks so much for being on the show, man. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having us here, Mark. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm really excited to have you on because you've done so much and you've been through so much when it comes to negotiation. I think your experience really speaks volumes about what it takes to succeed as an executive. And you've done a ton, not only in a very mature space, but also in the startup space, essentially now with the Sasha Group, which essentially was a startup, now is growing and scaling. You guys are growing like weeds. It's insane.
Yeah, we've been fortunate. First year out of the box, we would just celebrate. And as we look back over the last 11 months, it's been a successful year for the newest company in the VaynerX offering under Gary Vaynerchuk.
Yeah, I'm so excited for you guys. It's really cool. And so for maybe the listeners who don't know a ton about you, maybe you could just give a little bit of background. Where were you before Vayner?
Several places. I was right before Vayner, I was actually the CEO of a small publicly traded mobile media company called Cedo, trades on the NASDAQ. Prior to that, chief operating officer for Saatchi & Saatchi, chief operating officer for Interbrand. I was global CFO for what is now the MS&L Group. Cut my teeth really in public accounting at KPMG, spent a little time at Goldman Sachs down on Wall Street. So had a nice career run.
Totally. You know, one of the things that often comes up, the questions that I have from the listeners is, bring me someone who's been there and done that. I want to know from a person who's had their entire career in a bunch of different businesses what it takes to be successful in negotiation. What do you think makes you so successful when it comes to negotiation?
You know, I think your point is there really is no substitute for wisdom and experience. When Gary hired me, the comment that he made is, look, you've made 25 years of mistakes that I don't want to make. So help avoid the potholes and move faster. So, yeah, sometimes you just got to go through it, you know, and the learning is in the practice of it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. So, I mean, if you were going to give advice to the listeners who are, most of our listeners are procurement people, sales people, we have some crisis negotiators, but we've got a very big and growing audience of small to medium-sized business owners who want to get better at negotiation. And your job is to advise small and medium business owners. What advice would you give them on how to improve their negotiation?
I'd say the real eye-opener for me was actually attending a class on negotiation. There's an art to it. And just, you know, a full-day seminar learning the art of negotiation. I found it so enlightening. I did it back when I was at Saatchi. And what was really telling for me was I was the only agency person in the room. Realize now why the agencies are so overmatched and going up against Fortune 500, you know, whether it's a Procter & Gamble or a General Mills or we were servicing at that time. You know, they had 6 and 8 people from a procurement department in this negotiation skills training. And, you know, I was a CFO with 10 other jobs. Procurement just happened to be one of them. Really overmatched, but it gave me a lot of insight. So I encourage your listeners to find a class that's right for them.
The Negotiations Ninja class.
Negotiation skills. Yeah, there you go. If you offer it, then leaning in.
You know what? Just so the listeners know, we didn't set that up. That was not intended, but I will fully take advantage of it. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Look, it's underpriced attention. Grab it where you can.
That's right. And so, I mean, when you're chatting with these small and medium-sized business owners, what do you think is the biggest thing that they get wrong about negotiation?
There's an element of trust. If it starts with trust, then the parties come at it a lot better. So getting to a point where the two sides are trusting. I can't tell you how many times in my past experience, you know, we would just win a piece of business. And on day one, we would start the negotiation of renegotiation. Yeah. We won the business. We just signed the contract. And it was almost a spirit of distrust that was going back and forth between the two sides. So very dangerous place to be.
Totally. What do you think are the key components of trust?
Transparency, clarity, a proper definition. So, you know, just being able to realize that conflicts may not exist. They may only exist in somebody's mind, right?
Yes, perception.
Yeah, perception and the psychology of understanding what that is. You know, I often found that it's sometimes better not to ask for permission, just kind of move on as if I'm the authoritative figure, know what we're doing. So just motor through. Sometimes it's a little better to ask for forgiveness than permission up front.
Why do you suppose that is?
Because every answer starts with a no. And, you know,
that's classic, yeah.
This is why I love working in the VaynerX world, because we start everything with a yes, and then we'll figure it out. Okay. So if you're in, you know, the holding company world, every request begins with a no.
Yeah. What do you think is the main paradigm shift when you think of like the difference between what that gives you in terms of opportunity? If you start the conversation with a yes versus a no.
I think it's finding a way to reach a common ground, right? So if you take the time to understand what it is that the other party wants to accomplish from this, and if you go into it with their best interest in mind, right? So this is what we do so much at the Sasha Group. We lean in more of a consultancy than an agency. And what I mean by that is an agency is more of a waitress. They're going to take an order and go cook up the order. And the consultancy is more of a maitre d'. I know you're asking for this, but did you consider that? In order to get to what it is that you're trying to get to, my experience says that you should probably do this. All right. So it's kind of,
you need to be that advisor, really.
Yeah. Trusted advisor.
Yeah. I mean, I love the term, but so many people throw it around and don't really understand what it means. Because I think one of the key components there is, number one, trust, like we spoke about. You've got to have that integrity. You've got to do what you said you were going to do. You've got to have that consistency. But that advice piece really comes in a lot, I think, of instead of being the order taker, especially when it comes to sales, being that person who pushes back and says, this isn't the right move for you. We think you should go this direction. I think that in and of itself builds trust.
Exactly. And initially, giving free advice also builds trust. This is
which is why Gary's so successful, right?
Exactly. This is what was his jab, 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 right hook, right? So give the free advice to get everybody hooked on it before, you know, actually coming in for then the monetized ask. And a lot of times what we give our clients here at the Sasha Group is access to what we call our Rolodex. Hey, do you know somebody who does this? Have you ever done that? How would you handle that? It's just a phone call. You know, it's giving somebody 2 minutes of your time, you know, without necessarily pushing an invoice on the desk.
Yeah, love that. And having that kind of frank, earnest conversation builds additional business for you. And I think one thing that a lot of people struggle with, especially in the small, medium-sized business space, is they're thinking, well, I don't want to give, like, that's my best stuff, right? Like, I don't want to give that stuff away because then, you know, I'm not going to make any money off of those customers. But the opposite is actually true.
Look, it's the razor handle, right? You want to give the handle away when you're really monetizing the razor? I mean, that's kind of how you have to look at some of these advice. You don't have to get a penny for everything that you're actually doing. You know, sometimes in my negotiation, I had this with a client just yesterday. I knew I was going to cave and give in to the client's ask. I wanted 5 minutes on the phone to show them and demonstrate to them my logic for why I initially put up the ask. And I got my point, and I opened the conversation with, listen, we're going to go your way. So this is not about arguing. I want you to understand the logic. And my hope in doing so was that they would sit back and say, yeah, you know what? What he is saying makes a lot of sense. I'm glad he gave in to me. And you know what that client did for me? They gave me another year on the contract. We did what they asked, okay? But by taking the time to take them through my logic, why I originally asked for what I asked for, said, you know what, James, that transparency, we're now going to go beyond when the contract was supposed to end.
Yeah, love that. Do you find that people struggle with that ask? Like in that kind of a situation where they ask for the business, a lot of the people that I work with, that's the biggest thing that they struggle with in negotiation, just asking. Why do you suppose that is?
Yeah, well, you know, what's the saying? Like, if you don't ask, you don't get. But you want to be able, see, what I ask from a point of logic, okay? Right. We can debate the logic, but there will always be a logic behind the ask. I think that's important. I don't ask just to ask. So taking the time to have them understand the logic, just as I did in yesterday's example, now they understood why I asked. Sometimes if it works right, just like yesterday, they almost feel bad now taking the negotiation and trying to figure out, okay, so how can I make this where we're both a winner? I'm going to win today, but you know what? I'm going to give him a branch so he wins tomorrow. Exactly how that played out for me yesterday. You know, I shared it with my leadership because they were like, listen, I don't understand why you even want to get on the phone with the guy. I said, I want to get on the phone with the guy so I could just explain the position. But we're going to give in. We're going to, you know, this is not about, I'm going to try and convince him. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give in. And now I just want to understand the logic.
Yeah. And that helps them to understand that you are now doing things in their best interest as well, because you've thought through the process. You're not just an order taker.
Oh, absolutely. And there was much more angst on the other end of the phone. The gentleman was like, James, you don't understand. I haven't slept for the last two nights. I thought I was being questioned. And I said, no. Listen, this is not about that. Don't worry about it. I said, I'm fine. You know, I'm smarter for next time. You know, I'll put, it was one of those ones where the contract should have spelled out the actual years, 2018, 2019, 2020. Instead, right. Said year one, year two, year three. So now, there was a question, when does year one start? Okay, so, you know, shame on me. The next contract will be more clear. It won't say year one. It will actually say 2018, 2019, 2020. So I wanted him to know that I got a learning from this experience as well, and I'll apply that. We're going to go with your interpretation of the agreement, and that's fine. You know, I never meant for you to lose any sleep. It's not about angst or anything like that. And, you know, I think he was just so relieved that it wasn't going to be a hand-to-hand combat, that he actually said, you know what, I'm going to extend this one more year, give you another year on the back end.
Love that. What do you wish people would do differently in their negotiations?
I think that doing the right thing is always the right thing. And if you have, you know, as a service sector company, it's important for us to have the client's best interest in mind. We don't lose sight of the fact that our goal and objective is to make profit. Right. So I'm very clear about that. But I have yet to see where I go wrong by having the client's best interest in mind. Sometimes, and I learned this from Gary as well, you know, sometimes that's actually giving back some money in the best interest of what we're doing. Hey, what we're doing is not working. So stop spending. Allow us to either pivot, take some money back, something like that. The social media landscape here allows us to function in what we call a fail fast, fix fast, learn fast environment, where we can constantly test and optimize and spend small sums of money, double down on the stuff that's working, pull back on the stuff that's not. This is not like creating a Super Bowl commercial and hope it works, hope people actually gravitate to it. So it's a little different. But I think if people would just kind of enter with doing the right thing, as opposed to, I'm going to enter to see how I might be able to get over on the other side of the table.
I think you said something really important there that I want to emphasize. If it's not working, you got to call it out, right? Yeah. You got to call it out. You got to do something different. And I think so many people go into it thinking, you know, well, they've already committed to it. We're going to do it anyway, even though it's not working. But if it's not working, you got to call it out.
Yeah, and this is the beauty of being in an independent company. You know, we answer to one guy, you know who and what Gary is. It's not a publicly traded company that's answering to analysts on Wall Street and what their expectation is. We're not part of a holding company where, you know, somebody in London around the Champs-Élysées is calling the shots. It's not about that. It is actually what gravitated me towards being a part of the VaynerX family.
Amazing. As we close off here, I just want to ask you if you could leave the small business owners, the medium-sized business owners, with one piece of advice about negotiation, what would it be?
It is possible for both sides to win and feel good about it. It doesn't have to be a winner and loser. Right. You can win-win situation.
You can create something that's mutually beneficial. You don't have to go zero sum.
Absolutely. If we put a variable comp scheme in, I want people to feel good about paying me the bonus, not feel like I'm ripping them off because we've now, you know, met the hurdle. So negotiation where both sides can be a winner is what should be sought.
Love that. So good. James, thank you so much for being on, man. Really, really appreciate it. I think we've had a fantastic conversation. Where can people find you online?
So I'm on Instagram and LinkedIn as James Orsini. I'm on Twitter as Jimmy the Pencil.
Jimmy the Pencil. What a great tag. Love that. Awesome. Just for the listeners and viewers, just so that you know, I'll link out to all of those in the show notes. Again, James, thanks for being on.
Great. Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Hey friends, thanks so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please share it with friends and colleagues so that they can benefit from it as well. If you find Negotiations Ninja Podcast worthy, please go onto iTunes and give us a cool rating with a nice review. We certainly appreciate every single one that we get because it helps us to understand who is listening, how they're listening, and what it is they like. If there's something that you would like me to discuss around negotiation, influence, or persuasion, give me a shout. You know how to reach me on social media, or you can get me on my website, which is www.negotiations.ninja.